Sairam. I offer my most reverential, respectful, loving and heartful obeisance at the divine lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan. My humble salutations to all who present here. By Bhagwan's grace, the Balvikas children and Sai Youth of Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization, Tamil Nadu, will now present a drama titled Sri Satya Sai, the God of Universality. I wish to give you a brief on the theme of this drama. Generally, it is said that we must associate with good people and reject the bad ones. However, our Swami teaches us that we must see good in all and ignore the bad in them, for no human being is perfect. In this drama, you will see a few episodes from the divine life of Buddha, Jesus and Swami, which illustrates the above ideal. This ideal taught to us by Swami has been transforming millions of people ever since he descended on earth. By Bhagavan's grace, may this drama inspire us to make this ideal a part of our life. Jai Sai Ram.
Shri Satya Sai.
In fact, I myself have not heard of some of them.
I also wish to add something. You shared many parables and sayings of Jesus, which I have not found in the Bible at all. But it is very appropriate for Christianity. Being a Hindu, we appreciate that you spoke of Buddhism and Christianity.
My dear brothers, I am not only a Hindu, but also a Christian and a Buddhist.
How can that be?
Not only that, you too are Hindus.
How do you say that we are Hindus?
The word Hindu is derived from two words. Hin, which stands for himsa or violence, and Du, which stands for dur, which means one who stays away. Thus, a Hindu is one who stays away from violence. I am sure that both of you stay away from violence and believe in non-violence. Therefore, both of you too are Hindus.
How do you say you are a Buddhist?
After coming to Swami, I have completely renounced attachment. Therefore, I am also a Buddhist.
How do you say that you are a Christian?
Do you remember what Jesus said? Love thy neighbor as you love thyself. We have been taught by Swami to serve the needy with love. The core of the Sri Satya Sai organization is only love. Secondly, the cross represents the eye or the sense of ego. The one who crosses the eye has removed one's ego. I am removing my ego, and thus I am also a Christian.
That was a very nice explanation. Being a Hindu, how do you know all this?
One who experiences the Lord within knows the essence of all scriptures.
Atmayendunna Nasai Devudu. Sir, I wish to ask you a question. How did you acquire such profound knowledge about Christianity?
My dear brother, if one experiences the love of God within, where He resides, one automatically acquires such wisdom.
Oh, I see.
Sir, we are eager to hear more from you.
I will definitely attempt to share whatever little I have learned from Swami. I would like to begin our discussion today by recounting a wonderful episode from the life of the Buddha.
Oh, that is wonderful. I am happy that you are going to speak about my divine master. I am very eager to hear you.
Once, the Buddha was camping at a small village amidst his journey. The villagers gathered each day to listen to his nectarine words of wisdom. The divine discourses filled most of the villagers with great wisdom and peace. However, there were two rich merchants in the village who were unhappy with his teachings. So, here is what happened.
Dear children, Sarvam Dukkham, Sarvam Kshanikam, Nirvanam Shantam. This world is full of sorrow. Everything in this world is but ephemeral. Real peace can be attained only when one attains Nirvana, the highest spiritual state of complete renunciation. Nirvana can be obtained only when one gives up one's sense of attachment to the world. Remember, attachment is the root cause of all suffering. I thus urge you all to give up attachment to this perishable world and embrace the path of renunciation. May you all attain Nirvana, the highest goal of life.
Did you hear what he is preaching? The world is perishable, it seems.
Ha ha ha! What a joke! He ran away from his palace, gave up his wife and child, ran away from his responsibilities as a prince, and now he wants others also to leave everything and become a beggar like him.
True. These so-called renunciates always do this. They are misguided and in turn misguide other gullible people also.
Well said, friend. The preachings of this so-called monk is an insult to hard-working people like us who struggle to make an honest living in this world.
Well said, partner. Come, let us both go to this fellow and give him a piece of our mind. This may help knock some sense into his head.
Sure, let's do that.
Hey monk, stop this pretense of meditation and look at us. We heard your so-called words of wisdom to the gullible villagers. We have thus come to give you some real words of wisdom. You talk of renunciation, giving up attachment and giving up the world. You useless monks! You left your wife and child and ran away from your worldly responsibilities and also misguide other innocent people who toil hard in this world to make a decent living. People like you are parasites who thrive by sucking the blood of hard-working people like us.
And so, the merchant went on criticizing the Buddha for over an hour. The Buddha, on his part, was totally unmoved and sat calmly as always with a benign smile on his face.
Look at this man. I've been screaming at him for over an hour now, but he still keeps smiling without showing any sign of repentance. You truly are a shameless monk. Partner, this fellow is really thick-skinned. I am tired of talking to him. You take over now.
My dear brothers, before you resume, I have a request to make. I have promised to visit the neighboring village to deliver a discourse to the people there. It is time for me to leave now, since it would take me half an hour to reach there, half an hour to deliver my discourse there, and another half an hour to return. Meanwhile, I would request you to have your meal and take some rest. That way, you will be fully refreshed and ready to continue to talk to me once I am back.
I can't believe this. We have been heaping insults on him non-stop, but he seems so unperturbed. Not just that, there is no sense of anger or enmity in his words.
That is right, partner. All the harsh words that we have spoken to him have not robbed him of his sense of peace. How is this possible? Let us ask him. O holy man, we have been insulting you with harsh words for over an hour now. How is it that you are unaffected by all this?
Friends, all your harsh words are like firecrackers. On the other hand, my heart is like a lake full of cool water. If firecrackers are thrown into the water, does the water in the lake get heated? Not at all. Instead, the fire in the crackers get extinguished. My heart is like a vast, cool lake. No amount of harsh words can disturb its cool calmness and peace. This is the way to lasting bliss and peace.
O Holy One, we foolishly came thinking we will teach you a lesson. But you have opened our eyes, which were covered by the darkness of ignorance. Please accept us as your disciples.
Peace be to all.
Thanks for recounting this most inspiring episode of instant transformation.
Inspiring indeed. And what a shining example of unperturbed peace, equanimity and love.
A comparable episode occurred in the divine life of my Jagadguru. I mean, Swami, as we devotees lovingly refer to him. May I share the same?
Sure. Please do.
A few years ago, there lived a famous politician in an eastern state of India who was a member of the Indian Parliament for over 2 decades. He was an atheist of the highest order and swore against the existence of God and had scant respect for holy men. Whereas, his wife was deeply devoted to Swami and was a devotee of the highest order. She regularly came to Puttaparthi to have Swami's darshan against her husband's wish. This pious lady wanted her atheist husband also to have Swami's divine darshan. He, however, flatly refused her request. In fact, he even ridiculed her. Once, she requested Swami to grant her wish that her husband should also accompany her to have Swami's darshan. Swami graciously blessed her. After a lot of effort, she convinced her husband to accompany her. The husband reluctantly gave in because of her persuasion, but he said that he would never bow down before Swami or even squat down on the floor in his presence. My political ideology teaches us that all are equal. Thus, I will bow before none, he said.
Interesting. What happened then?
Before the couple arrived, Swami instructed me to arrange a chair in the interview room for a devotee. I was wondering as to which devotee would venture to sit on a chair in Swami's presence. I assumed that the devotee was probably disabled. After the interview was over, Swami narrated the happenings in the interview room to me. During the interview, the politician's wife fell at Swami's lotus feet. When the atheist politician saw this, somehow his entire attitude changed. He immediately rushed towards Swami and wanted to touch Swami's lotus feet. However, Swami smilingly stopped him and told him, "You do not come here to touch my feet. You are doing so now only because your wife touched my feet, right? You still have some reservations in doing so. You can touch my feet when you wholeheartedly wish to do so." Swami then explained to him the message of love and godliness. "Your political ideology teaches you to create equality by taking wealth away from the rich by force and helping the poor. But my ideology is to serve the poor with love. Real equality should be based on love and not achieved through force," he advised. The politician was moved by these words. Looking at Swami, he said, "Swami, I am a leader by force, but you are a leader on account of your love. I wish to relinquish my political career and stay back here in your presence and serve as per your ideals with love." Swami, however, advised him to go back to his state and continue serving his citizens in his state with love. By his grace, this politician enjoyed a long and illustrious political career following Swami's ideals. In fact, he was an undisputed leader who was elected unopposed all throughout.
What a remarkable episode! It is so heartening to hear that these things can occur in the current age.
I have, however, not heard of any parallels to the stories in the Bible. I am not even sure whether such parallels exist.
Actually, there are many. Have you heard about the Roman centurion?
Who is the Roman centurion? I have not come across his name anywhere in the Bible.
Dear sir, there are many such episodes which are not recorded in the Bible, which occurred in the holy life of Jesus Christ. Many of these have been narrated to us by my beloved Lord.
Oh,
the centurion is a highly placed official of the Roman Empire. A centurion is known by that name since he is the leader of a battalion of 100 soldiers. He was a widower and brought up his only daughter with lot of love and affection. The centurion's teenage daughter was once possessed by an evil spirit. He tried various cures to the ailment, but nothing worked. The centurion was so devastated that he was thinking of ending his life at one time. Can we see what happened next?
"How grave is my misfortune! The only person in this world who I can call my own is my daughter. And see what has happened to her. O Lord, please cure my daughter from this dreadful ailment."
"Dear sir, why don't you try seeking the help of Jesus? They say that he cures people of all incurable diseases."
"What? There is no way I can do that. Jesus is likely to be arrested upon the order of the emperor. How then can I, an official of the emperor's court, visit Jesus? That is impossible."
"Sir, why don't you do this for the benefit of your own daughter, whom you love so much?"
Thus, having no other go, he finally sought Jesus' help.
"Jesus, my daughter is possessed with an evil spirit. She is all that I have in my life. Look at her."
"Come out."
"Father."
"Oh Lord, our Savior, you have given a new life to my family by curing my only daughter, who is all that I have in my life. I am forever indebted to you. Oh merciful Lord, what can I offer to you? Please let me know."
"Not now, my dear child. I will let you know later." Unfortunately, the Roman Empire decided to crucify Jesus. The centurion was given the responsibility to oversee the crucifixion. Naturally, the centurion was in a great state of dilemma. Finally, he decided to approach Jesus and convey his feeling. This is what happened next.
O Holy One, the Savior of mankind, please save me from my grave predicament.
What is that troubles you, my son?
Lord, perturbed by the spread of your glory, my empire has ordered that you be crucified. And worst of all, I have been ordered to oversee your crucifixion. What sin have I committed that I have landed in this cursed situation?
మరణశయ్యనుంచి మరపించి మరలించి మరణశయ్యనుంచి మరపించి మరలించి తనుజ బాధ తీర్చి తనని గాచి బ్రోచి నట్టి నీకు నీచ శిక్షిమ్మన్న పంత పాజ్ఞ అమలు పరచలేను అమలు పరచలేను.
లార్డ్, it is impossible for me to carry out the empire's orders. But if I refuse to carry out the order, I'll be hanged till death. It is better for me to die for you rather than die for the empire. Please take my life right away and let my spirit merge in you, O Lord.
జగములోన ఎన్ని జన్మలు కలిగిన కష్ట సుఖములేని ఆత్మ నేను. నేను ప్రేమమూర్తి, నీవే నా ప్రియుడవు. కర్మ మీద చూపు ప్రేమ దీక్ష, కర్మ మీద చూపు ప్రేమ దీక్ష.
మై డియర్ చైల్డ్, గివ్ అప్ డెస్పెయిర్. ఐ విష్ దట్ యు ఎర్నెస్ట్లీ క్యారీ అవుట్ ది ఎంపైర్స్ ఆర్డర్స్.
బట్ మై లార్డ్.
చైల్డ్, యు ఆర్ డ్యూటీ బౌండ్ టు క్యారీ అవుట్ the task assigned to you by the empire.
How can I ever take the responsibility for an act that causes you pain, my lord?
Child, the opposite pairs of pain and pleasure is only for the body. The one who knows himself to be the spirit is above both pain and pleasure. The crucifixion can never hurt me, dear child. I would thus beseech you to perform the duty assigned to you with love.
I will follow thy command, my lord.
How great the infinite love of the Lord! He sacrificed his celestial body for the welfare of humanity. How great a sense of equipoise in pleasure and pain.
Now here is a parallel from the divine life of Swami. Let us listen to the narration of this episode by a devotee who was a first-hand witness to this episode.
After reopening of Sundaram in 1981 January, Swami used to visit every year to Sundaram. So in 1982, we went and brought Swami to our Sundaram. During that particular event, we took him to rural areas near Chengalpet. He started walking in that soil area. And then we came back. Then after 4 or 5 days, we took him to Vrindavan. We dropped him and came back. After a week or so, myself and my wife went to see Swami to get the permission that we are going abroad. At that time in the evening, in the ground floor, veteran people, old Sai devotees, they were murmuring among themselves. The moment they saw me, they started accusing me. I said, what happened? What is this you people are doing? Is it the way to take care of Swami in Chennai? He said, what happened? Everything was okay. Swami was always smiling. He'll also smile. I said, even if you are torturing me, you'll smile. I do not know. What happened? I said, then only said, see, today he had an operation. Today he had surgery in the leg. Surgery in the leg? Why? When we are talking these dialogues, Swami in the first floor heard our dialogues, came to the parapet wall, looked at me, hey, Krishnamurti, when did you come? Paikra. Paikra means come up. Bari vachinda? Yes, Swami. Bring your wife also. So when I went first floor, I saw a huge bandage up to knee, right leg. And then I touched his hand, I touched his forehead, the temperature. Swami, you have a fever. Yeah, not for me, I say. It's only for my body, not for me. I said, when are you going, where are you going, what will you bring to me? You want to change the subject. So what happened? Nothing, I say. I believe there are some wood speck inside, and they removed it. It is something like, you're cleaning the house, this is what he said. I want to know more about him. He did not want to talk about it. He was only talking about our welfare and foreign trip, this and that. Then I came back. So I gave permission. Then I came back. I asked him, what happened? You asked Dr. Sundaresan and Dr. Hegde. Both were there. So Dr. Hegde was missing. I asked Dr. Sundaresan, what happened? What, sir? What should I say? We are not supposed to say this outside. If we say this, we will be put in the jail. What happened? There's a lot of swelling is there in the complete right leg, the ankles. Then we went and saw the Swami. There is something inside that has been removed. Swami said, remove. So we wanted to give anesthesia. No, anesthesia is not for me, he said. No, Swami, that is our rule. We have to give it, otherwise we can't cut. No, that is for the human body, it's not for me. I am a celestial body. I have a celestial body. Not for me. Then those people, do it. Do it with love. This is Swami's words. So this Sundra said, sir, I can't do it. So he started doing it. He started cutting. And the moment he cuts there, blood, plus everything came out. Removed that speck. Then cleaned up. He stitched it. At that time, I asked, what was the Swami doing? Swami happily reading the newspaper. Then after stitching, the doctor told Swami, there will be swelling, there will be some fever there. Not for me, again. So you did it without anesthesia? He said, yes. Now, if I tell, nobody will believe it. I don't want to say, because you came and asked me, I am telling you for these purposes. Then later on, again, next Swami, what is, you do not know, still you feel that I am Sai Baba, I am God, I say, I am full of love, nothing can happen to me, even if you eat me, nothing can happen. This is what he said. He said, Swami, we are not able to understand you in full. You know what Swami said? Nobody on earth can understand me in full.
What a blissful episode. This can be exemplified only by a divine personality. Our beloved Master Buddha also teaches us about how one should rise above the opposites of pain and pleasure. I have heard about how he exemplified this in his own life. I feel blessed to have heard this episode from the life of a divine personality who exemplified the same lesson in this current age. Yes, truly so. By the way, have you heard the story of Angulimala?
Yes, I have.
I have not heard the story. Can you narrate it, please? Sure. Angulimala was a most feared dacoit who lived during the time of Buddha. He lived in the jungle along with his band of dacoits. His practice was to waylay travelers who passed through the jungle, kill them, and chop their fingers off. He had strung the fingers he had collected into a garland of sorts and wore it around his neck. This is how he acquired the name Angulimala. Anguli means finger and mala means garland. This is what happened next.
I was hungry and searching for food. Here is my food. Hey man, I am going to kill and eat you now. Once I have killed you, I will add your finger to the garland of fingers around my neck.
Come near my child.
Child? I am no child. I am the messenger of death, and you are the 100th victim who has walked into my trap.
Angulimala, I am gladly willing to be your 100th victim. Please go ahead.
What? I have only seen men shiver at the very sight of me. But this monk shows no fear even when I approach him with my sword. He is in fact smiling at me. Hey man, are you not scared of death? Do not try to pretend to be fearless.
Angulimala, fear is only for the one who has not realized the goal of life. It is for those who have not discovered their own reality. It is you who are in fear, not me.
Fear? The two in me? It is the rest of the world which is scared of this ferocious Angulimala.
My dear child, all this ferociousness and courage is only a mask that you are wearing to hide the fear, the insecurity, and the lack of peace that is truly within you. To say the truth, you are scared to face this reality. Oh, Angulimala, this unshakable peace and fearlessness is something which is your birthright. All these qualities are within you.
What is it that you are talking? Do not waste my time. I am hungry. Get my sword.
Here are all my fingers, my friend. Take whichever one you want.
What is happening? People are so scared that they die just out of their fear of me. But this man, he's smiling at me. Is this really happening? Or is this a dream?
Come on, Angulimala. Do not waste your time.
For the first time in my life, I feel I have lost my strength and the urge to kill.
That is because you are an embodiment of love.
You mean even a dacoit, a man-eater like me, has love in himself?
Certainly, my child. I see in you nothing else but love.
Should I bow my head to this man? Yes. He is divine. And he has shown me that I too am divine. Aha. Divine plus divine is bliss. Oh, divine master, I have committed a lot of sins. Please forgive me, O Lord. I take refuge in you.
Amazing. I sometimes wonder whether a transformation like this can really happen in the current age.
Of course it can. Here is a wonderful story of transformation that occurred to a group of youth in a small village in India. These youth had taken to an ideology that advocated extremism and the use of violence to achieve their goals. But their life was transformed by the divine darshan of my beloved Lord. Let us listen to this wonderful miracle of transformation from one of my fellow devotees who had the fortune of witnessing this directly.
Once I was in Bangalore, a friend of mine called me urgently in the night about 11 o'clock. I was surprised why you should call me at 11 o'clock in the night. Then I asked him, what is the matter? He said his son was kidnapped. He is practically trying to get his son back. And I asked, who kidnapped him? He said about 47 people came to my house and took him away forcefully. Then I asked him, where are they now? They have not yet gone out of Bangalore. They are somewhere in this particular area. So you please help me. I said, okay, I will do my best. So I found out where they are. I went to that location. And there I saw this boy. He was tied up, both legs and hands have been tied up. I was surprised to see. And I asked these people, there are about 47 people were there, I counted. Then they asked me, who are you? I said, I am his father's friend. I came here to help you. I asked, what is the matter? Why did you tie him up? They said, this fellow has taken money from the poor people in our village, did not return back. We are the people, you know, who always work for the poor. So therefore, we wanted the money. Otherwise, if we wanted to do whatever we want to do, we will certainly do it for him. We won't have no mercy. Then I told him, even if you kill him, even if you break his leg, you are not going to get back your money. Please listen to me. I will take responsibility of getting that money back to you. You should listen to me. They said, how? you release from him, you take my responsibility, you take my address, my phone number, I will see within a couple of months you'll get back your money. See, I'm like your father, you are all youngsters. They somehow or other they said, okay, what is the guarantee? I'll give a guarantee. This is my house, this is my address. I gave all details about myself. Then they released. I brought back that son to a father and somehow or other made both of them to give in piecemeal, 5,000, 10,000 like that. In a matter of 2-3 months, the entire amount was given back to them and they were very happy. Those people still telephoned to me saying, sir, I got the money. I'm so we have listened to you, but for you, we would not have got this money. You are like a father to me, he said. I said, okay, it's all right. Then where are you? I was happened to be in Bangalore. Once again, I was on my way to Puttaparthi. They also happened to be there. Then he asked him, are you going to kidnap anybody else? I said, no, sir, we came here to see you because you are in Bangalore. Now I'm going to Puttaparthi. Then after some time, you always going to Puttaparthi. The way in which you are talking, we are very much convinced about you. Can we also come? I said, we will let you know. I have to ask Swami's permission. Then I came to Swami. Then I asked Swami, there are about 47 extremities are there. They wanted to have your darshan. Swami said, how did you get into this merciless gang? No, Swami, this is what happened. This is the story. I explained to him. Then after a pause for some time, okay, let them come. Then Swami, I will also sit along with them. I said, okay. Then I told them, if you come to Puttaparthi, they came, but I told them, please come with white shirt, white pant or white dhoti, no coloration, and then don't bring your weapons, pistol or sword or knife and all those, nothing. I said, okay. So they came, we made them sit in a cycle of hall. I also sat next to them. And then Swami slowly came and looked at me. Virena, another. Means, are these people? Question mark. I said, yes, Swami. Swami looked at all these people, smiled, manchidi, manchidi, and he went away. And these people, Swami is calling and manchidi, manchidi. They are Telugu people. They are from Telangana area. Then, can you go? He said, no. They said, we are not going, sir. We'll wait for 2 more days, he said. Okay. So next day also they sat. Then, I did not sit next for the second time. Then again, third day, Swami went there, materialized vibhuti, gave to 3 or 4 people. Then afterwards, they asked, sir, what should we do? I said, all the 47 people should share this. Little by little, you will put an inch. All your sins will be washed. So they did what all I said, then went back. After 15 days, they get telephoned to me, sir, we wanted to give up all these, our habits. We went to the police and hand over all our weapons. Now, can we join in your activity, your samiti? I said, no, you have your own group. You cannot take our samiti back because we see it in your backtrack. So therefore, you have your own. And you collect your money. You go and do whatever you can to your people, especially to poor people. Do it with a smiling face, with a love. So accordingly, they started doing it. They're doing it. And the poor people, especially these scheduled caste people, marriage, they used to go and help them. In a death, they used to go and spend money and see that burial, everything, they used to do the job. Then in 2011, when Swami left, all the 47 people came to Prasanthalayam. I was busy with so many over there inside. Then I saw these people standing in the queue, all the 47. Then they did not talk to me. I also did not talk to them. Then after the queue, again they went back, stood in the queue next time again. So the whole day they saw about 3 or 4 times about Swami's face. And then I could see their face, almost tear in their eyes. I could see the way in which they feel. Then afterwards, I said, what are we going to do? No, sir, we know that we have made a lot of sins in our world. After seeing Bhagavan left us, we are orphans now. No, don't say like that. From now on only, he is going to take care of you. He will protect you throughout your life. So you please go and do your job. But take care of the people, and this is what we do. You also do the same thing. You need not be a member of our organization, but you are in the heart of Swami. That's you please understand that, sir. So they very happily, they went there, they said, sir, we belong to Sai. That is what they said, we belong to Sai. Then they left Puttaparthi. Now they are doing their job as per the words they have given to me a couple of years ago.
Amazing example of transformation through love.
especially with such people who have a violent nature. This is simply inexplicable.
There is a similar story of transformation that is narrated in the Bible. Have you heard of the story of Mary Magdalene?
I know the story. Let me share it with you. Mary Magdalene lived during the time of Jesus. Due to certain circumstances, she had taken up the profession of a public woman and was shunned by the people around her as a woman of bad character. Mary was, however, pure at heart and earnestly prayed to the Lord to cleanse her of all sins. Once she heard about Jesus Christ and yearned to have his divine vision. Fortunately for her, Jesus was about to pass through her village along with his apostles. She decided to go and see him. To avoid being recognized by people, she covered her face with a veil. While she was watching Jesus, forgetting herself, the wind blew and her veil was displaced, and her face was seen by all. And this is what happened next.
Hey, here is Mary, the woman of wretched character.
How dare she appears in public with her face uncovered? Come on, let us stone her to death.
నన్ను మరచినాను ముసుగు తొలగి నన్న నింద వేసి నీతి మాలిన పనిని నేను చేసి తనుచు కొట్టినారు నన్ను కావు దేవా నన్ను కావు దేవా
O merciful Lord.
Fear not, my child. What causes you to hurt this poor woman?
Holy One, she is a sinner, a woman of questionable character. She thus deserves to be stoned to death.
Is that so? All right. Those who have not sinned so far can throw stones at her. Child, fear not. You are cleansed of all your sins. Live peacefully hereafter.
Compassionate Lord, I have no refuge other than you. Please permit me to live hereafter in your divine presence.
So be it.
Mary Magdalene, who was considered a sinner, was transformed into a saint.
What transformed her into a saintly character?
That is not mentioned in the Bible.
Can I explain to you, brother?
What is there to explain? Anyway, go ahead.
Our scriptures say, Padashrayanancha samasta shauram. The Lord's feet is referred to as the lotus feet. A lotus flower does not become wet even if you put water on it. Similarly, whenever you touch the lotus feet of the Lord with a feeling of surrender, the Lord takes away all the reaction of one's sins without our knowledge. At the same time, such reactions do not affect him at all. This is exactly what happened in Mary Magdalene's case.
But why should the Lord remove the reactions of our sinful deeds without our knowledge?
Because if the devotees know that the Lord has taken over their sins, they will start approaching the Lord with a sense of expectation. It then becomes a give-and-take relationship. The devotees will experience blissfulness only when they approach the Lord without any expectations. Thus, the Lord does not reveal it to them.
Praise be to the Lord. I did not know the inner significance of touching the Lord's feet.
Similarly, in case of Swami, whenever he came for darshan, thousands touched his lotus feet and the Lord accepted the reactions of their sins gladly. See how the sins of millions of devotees are being cleared once for all when they touch the lotus feet of the Lord. See how joyful they are. Brother, you are a Buddhist monk. So let me share with you the fascinating story of another Buddhist monk.
Is it so? I am very eager to hear this.
This Buddhist monk was in charge of a monastery in Colombo, in Sri Lanka, about 40 years ago. Unfortunately, he was blind. He consulted various doctors who said that his eyesight cannot be restored even through surgery. Once, this monk heard that there is a Buddha in Prashanthi Nilaya. Out of curiosity, the monk along with his assistant visited Prashanthi Nilaya. On the second or third day of their visit, Swami stood before them during darshan and told the old monk, "O monk, Buddha is standing right in front of you." The old monk was taken aback by Swami's words and said, "But Lord, I am blind and I am unable to see you." Swami then touched his eyes, and lo and behold, the monk was blessed with the vision of Swami in the form of Buddha. This convinced the monk that Swami was Buddha himself. He purchased a photograph of Swami and had it placed next to the idol of Buddha in his monastery.
"Sir, I have been a monk for so many years. I have spent my life studying Buddhist literature. I have visited many Buddhist monasteries. But all that you have shared so far about your Swami simply amazes me. It is even more amazing when I think about the fact that all this has happened within the space of last 2 or 3 decades. I wish I had visited Puttaparthi at that time. I regret that I have been ignorant of all this so far in my life."
"Do not grieve, brother. Other than God, all are ignorant. Give up this negative thought. Be happy that you have become aware of all this, at least now. Dear brother, did you see how thousands were purified by the touch of Swami's lotus feet, just like in the case of Mary Magdalene?"
"Yes, brother. Thank you for sharing all this. I would have never believed in all this unless I had come here today and heard you. According to Saint John, the one who has sent me shall come again. While I read this in the Bible, I did not take notice of it. However, I now feel that Swami is none other than the Lord who has come again to save humanity."
"Very true, brother. Do you know, thousands of Buddhists gather at Prashanthi Nilayam to celebrate Buddha Purnima. Again, during Christmas, thousands of devout Christians gather at Prashanthi Nilayam to sing carols in Swami's divine presence. Here are some visuals of this.
How divine! This looks like Vatican City.
Swami's divine love permeates the entire world today. The Sri Satya Sai organization has its presence in more than 120 countries today. People of all faiths gather at these centers and participate in bhajans and seva activities. Let us now listen to what Swami has said about the unity of all religions.
మనం ఏ మతమును కూడా దూషించనక్కర్లేదు.
Let's not criticize any religion.
ఒక చిన్న ఉదాహరణ చూడండి, పిల్లలకు చక్కగా అర్థమవుతుంది.
Students should understand very clearly.
వీణ ఉంటుండాలి.
Here you have veena.
Veena. Veena లోపల అనేక ఇది వైర్లంతా ఉంటున్నాయి.
The veena has so many strings.
తీగలంతా ఉంటున్నాయి.
So many strings.
ఒక్కొక్క తీగ ఒక్కొక్క శబ్దాన్ని ఇస్తుంటాది.
Each string gives one sound.
అయితే ఆ తీగలు అపస్వరం పలికినట్టుంటే వినేటువంటి వారికి చాలా ఇంపుగా ఉండదు.
When once the strings bring the sound out of tune, you can't hear.
Teegalu veri veriga unnai kaani veena okkate.
Though the strings are many, veena is one and the same.
Ee teegalu anninti oka ekatvamto susvaranga paliginappude manaku aanandam chikkutundi.
When all the strings are played in harmony, you listen to melodious
music. Desamanta oka veena vantidi.
The whole country is like veena.
Anni matamulu oka teegala vantive.
All religions are like string.
Anni matamulu ekamaipoyi oka susvaranga vaste adhe manchi aanandamu.
When all religions sing together in perfect harmony, you get the same music.
దీనిపైన మనకు చక్కటి విశ్వాసం కలగాలి.
You must have strong faith in that thought.
కనుక ఏ మత భేదములు కూడా పెట్టుకోకూడదు.
We should not observe any differences on grounds of religion.
మతములన్నీ వేరు, మార్గము ఒక్కటే.
Religions are many, but the path is one.
Vastra vedamu veru vastu okate.
There's the different clothes there, but the yarn is one.
Bangaramulu veru bangaram okate.
Jewels are many, but gold is one.
Pasula vannalu veru paalu okate.
The colors of the cows vary, but the milk is one.
Jeeva jantulu veru jeevundu okkane.
The creatures are many, but the indweller is one.
Poola jaatulu veru poojalu okate.
Flowers are many, worship is one.
Telivilekanu manavu telividappi.
You lose all your intelligence and you turn foolish.
Vatuku kosamu bahubada baddhulairi.
To carry a living, you are bound, you are chained.
Brother, thank you for opening my eyes to this wonderful manifestation of universal divine love.
Yes, brother. Prashanti Nilayam seems to be the only place in the world where the Lord is worshipped in his universal form by people of all faiths.
Yes, indeed. We are all children of the universal Lord who is one. We may, however, refer to him through different names, but all this refers to the one and only Lord who is the master of all creation. So we, the devotees, address our beloved Sai as the master of all creation. Do you have any objection?
Certainly not.
We have to accept this after listening to all that you have shared.
Very happy to hear your words, brothers. Sri Satya Sai, the God of universality.
Absolutely.
Let us now proceed to Prashanta Nilayam, the capital of the spiritual world, and immerse ourselves in singing his glory.
తెలిసింది ఎవరని మాకు తెలిసింది, నీవెవరని మాకు తెలిసింది. తెలిసింది 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 తెలిసింది. అఖిలములోని అష్టైశ్వర్యపు సిరులను త్యాగము చేసి, అఖిలములోని అష్టైశ్వర్యపు సిరులను త్యాగము చేసి, నిర్వాణంబును పొందిన ఘనుడు బుద్ధ దేవుడే సత్య సాయని, బుద్ధ దేవుడే సత్య సాయని. తెలిసింది 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 తెలిసింది. సిలువ వేసిన చిరునవ్వులతో బ్రోచిన దేవ కుమారుని రీతి, సిలువ వేసిన చిరునవ్వులతో బ్రోచిన దేవ కుమారుని రీతి, ప్రేమను పంచి శాంతిని పెంచిన పావన ప్రశాంతి నిలయ సాయని, పావన ప్రశాంతి నిలయ సాయని. తెలిసింది 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 తెలిసింది. ఎవరని మాకు తెలిసింది, నీవెవరని మాకు తెలిసింది. తెలిసింది 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 తెలిసింది. ఎవరని మాకు తెలిసింది, నీవెవరని మాకు తెలిసింది.
శుభ Narayana, Sai Narayana, Narayana, Sai Narayana. मिलते हैं तेरे द्वारे సత్య సాయి బాబాజీ కి జయ.